Answers from attorneys on Ask the Expert are not substitutes for the advice of an attorney. Ask the Expert is a public forum, and questions and responses are not private or confidential or protected by the attorney-client privilege. Attorney is not your attorney, and any statement by attorney is not legal advice. You should not understand any statement in response to any question to propose specific action or address specific circumstances, but only to give you a sense of general principles of law that might affect the situation you describe. Application of these general principles to particular circumstances must be done by a lawyer who has spoken with you in confidence, learned all relevant information, and explored various options. Before acting on these general principles, you should hire a lawyer licensed to practice law in the jurisdiction to which your question pertains. Many legal matters are time-sensitive. You should act without delay in order to protect your rights and interests. By answering questions, attorneys do not form attorney-client relationships with callers.
Ask the Expert this morning is brought to you by the Aronson & Moss Law Firm.
Well, good morning and welcome to Ask the Expert. I'm Jim Doyne. With you this morning, I have Jim Reddick, and he is an attorney with the Aronson & Moss Law Firm. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim. It's great to be here.
Great to have you here today. And I was going to ask you, Jim, in what area is in the law firm do you like to specialize in?
I specialize in a couple of different things. One of them is estate planning and probate, trusts and estates is sometimes called. Another thing that I do that nobody else in our firm does is bankruptcy law.
And this is interesting because we're going to talk about bankruptcy today. And I found this interesting as I went through some of the notes that you had sent me. But one of the things I wanted to ask, too, is how long have you been an attorney, Jim?
I've been an attorney licensed in Iowa since 1985, okay. So that's almost 30 years now, isn't it?
It is. A lot of experience, so that's a good thing.
Right. I've done a number of things. I've litigated cases. I've gone to trials, help plaintiffs, help defendants, done the estate planning. I work with business people. I've helped banks. I've helped people fight banks. I've, done the bankruptcy thing, so... there's a lot of experience there.
So people should, if they're in need of an attorney, should call Jim Reddick, right?
There's an old saying that I heard one time that says, if you're looking for a professional, you want a young doctor and an old lawyer. The idea being the young doctor is going to be up on all the newest information, and the lawyer is going to have experience that's going to be able to help you.
Very, very good. Excellent. I hadn't heard that before, but that's a good one. Let's talk bankruptcy. Now, if folks have any questions about bankruptcy, they can certainly give Jim a call here, 365-0600, 1-800-332-5401, star 600 on your U.S. cellular phone. There's several types of bankruptcy. So let's talk about the several types so that we can figure out what we're going to do here.
Sure. Yeah, we can lay that out. The bankruptcy is covered by what's called the bankruptcy code. It's broken up into different chapters. The first couple of chapters have basic provisions that apply in essentially every bankruptcy or that could apply in any bankruptcy. Then after that, you get into the specific kinds of bankruptcy. And so you have Chapter 7, Chapter 9, Chapter 11, Chapter 12, Chapter 13, and then there's another one for international kind of bankruptcies that I forget right now. But what we're most interested in here is Chapter 7s and Chapter 13s. Those are bankruptcies that individuals can file for, and that's really who I'm trying to serve right now.
Well, what's the difference then between 7 and 13?
Okay. In the bankruptcy world, there's a chapter for what's called liquidation. And that the idea of that is that any property that you have that can't be kept because it's exempt is going to be given to a trustee, and the trustee is going to liquidate that property and sell it, liquidate it, turn it into cash, and then use that cash to pay off all your creditors on an equal basis.
Mm-hmm.
That happens in every Chapter 7 case. The other chapters are there for the people who say, you know what? I think if I can just get a little break from my debt, a little breathing room, I can come up with a plan that's going to allow me to end up better off than I would be if I liquidated, and actually end up better off for my creditors than if I liquidated. So those are plans, and the idea is you're going to propose something that's going to be confirmed by the court, and that's going to say how your creditors are going to be paid going on into the future. Now, that can be done in a Chapter 11. That's the classic reorganization plan, and that's mainly for businesses, although individuals can do that under the right circumstances. But mostly for individuals, a reorganization is going to be done in a Chapter 13.
Well, what's exempt then? You mentioned exempt in Chapter 7. So what can I keep and what can't I keep?
Well, that's a great question, and that's something that everybody will want to know. It's based upon Iowa's exemption statute. There's one main exemption statute. There's another statute that's a homestead statute, and then there are other provisions here and there and some federal provisions. Essentially, what the exemption statute is a statement by Iowa's legislature that, mm-hmm. as a matter of public policy, we think people need a certain basic level of assets in order to take care of themselves. We don't want to take everything away from people, leave them out on the streets with no way to take care of themselves, because then it's a social problem.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Iowa, we have really a pretty liberal exemption code compared to other states. The home that you have has an unlimited exemption, the homestead exemption.
What if you have a mortgage on it?
Well, if you have a mortgage, then your mortgage creditor has the first dibs to it, and they're not barred from taking any relief by your exemption. Mm-hmm. If you actually read your mortgage papers when mm-hmm. you signed them, you would see very near the end that it says this property may be exempt, but you're signing it away.
Does everybody read that? I'm sure they don't.
I'm sure that there's probably about 1% of the people that read through everything.
I'll bet you're right. That's what we hire you for.
That's right. That's right.
Absolutely. Now, and there's other exemptions, though, right?
Correct. There are other exemptions. There's exemptions for your clothing and household goods, which includes, among other things, your radio or your TV, musical instruments. There's exemption for one rifle and one shotgun. These exemption statutes go back to the 1800s, and at that time, those were definitely essential items for people.
What about your car?
Your car is exempt. Now, there are some limits on some of these exemptions. I said that the homestead is unlimited. Others are limited. Your car is one that is limited. What you do is you look at your equity in it. In other words, if the car is worth $10,000 and you owe the bank $8,000 on it, you've got a $2,000 equity there. Iowa's law allows you to keep up to $7,500 in equity. That's per debtor. So if a husband and wife are going to file together, they each can claim one car that's exempt up to that amount.
So I would assume then if you've got a husband and wife or you got a married couple and one wants to file and one doesn't, that presents another problem all of its own.
That certainly is an interesting situation. There are times when it makes sense for one to file and not for the other to file. It just depends upon, what that couple's financial history is. Sometimes people are out there and one spouse and not the other is out taking on debt. In that case, maybe only one needs to file.
Jim Raddick is with me. He is an attorney with the Aronson & Moss Law Firm here in Cedar Rapids. Jim, we have to take a break. Before we do, tell me, if you can, a little bit about the Aronson & Moss Law Firm and how they would reach you if they would like to talk to you.
Sure. The Aronson & Moss Firm likes to help people who want to do some work in business or commercial area. We help people with family law, divorce, and child custody disputes. We have a criminal law attorney. And we are located downtown Cedar Rapids, 425 2nd Street Southeast. It's sometimes known as the Ground Transportation Building or the APAC Building. You can reach us by phone at 319-363-8199. And we have a website, www.aronsonlaw.com.
All right. We'll come back and talk more with Jim Raddick in just a moment. This is 600 WMT. Welcome back to Ask the Expert, Jim Doyne, along with Jim Raddick, who is an attorney with Aronson & Moss Law Firm. We're talking bankruptcy, and it's kind of interesting. I've learned a lot this morning so far, and I'm going to learn some more here in the next 10 minutes or so. But, Jim, tell me, can anybody file bankruptcy? bankruptcy, can anybody walk in and say, I don't think I want to pay for that anymore. I want to file bankruptcy.
Actually, no, not anybody can. In order to file for bankruptcy, you have to be what's called insolvent. Now, there are two tests for insolvency. One is that your debts are more than your assets. And most of the people that I see fall into that category. Another one, test for insolvency, is whether you are able to make your debt payments as they come due. You know, sometimes people might have an asset that's worth a lot, but they can't sell, they don't have the cash, and so all the other creditors are banging on the door saying, pay me now, pay me now, pay me now. Mm-hmm. Somebody like that could file for bankruptcy.
So if you have to be insolvent in some manner in order to file for it and be able to prove it, I would assume.
Correct. When you file for bankruptcy, you have to submit a number of schedules that set out your financial life in, you know, great detail. That's part of the deal for bankruptcy. If you want to get a discharge, you have to tell the court what's been going on, what you have, come clean, be honest, and then if you do that and you otherwise qualify, you can get the discharge.
Well, now you say bankruptcy. It actually isn't for everybody then, is it? I mean, sometimes you can help them figure out a way around that.
That's true. I have people who come in to consult me and say, you know, do I want to file for bankruptcy? And I might say to them, no, you don't need to. Now, what are some situations where that might happen? Sometimes you look at their situation, you say, we could file for bankruptcy, but because of the nature of the debt you have, you wouldn't necessarily be any better off. What you really need to do is see if you and your husband can go out and find some way to get some more income.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are people who don't necessarily have a huge amount of debt at the time. Other people may not have any income, may have a tremendous amount of debt, but they don't own very many assets. Everything they have is exempt. In that case, there's really not that much creditors can actually do to them.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, they have to think really hard, do I want to spend the money to an attorney to file a bankruptcy that's not really going to improve my position all that much?
Why don't I want to file for bankruptcy?
What
is the factor? In other words, what is the factor on other things?
Yeah, there is two reasons particularly not to file for bankruptcy. One is if you have the moral conviction that you need to pay your debts and you have the ability to do it, then obviously you should do that. The other one that people are concerned about is how is it going to affect my credit rating? And it does. It will tank most people's credit rating. Although you might be interested to learn that some people's credit rating is so bad that after they file for bankruptcy in a couple months, their credit rating actually goes up.
That's interesting. It is. Now, what about the student that goes to college, runs up all of this debt, and for going to school, comes out of school totally insolvent, if you will, because he can't do anything. He hasn't got a job. He can't pay off any debt. So he can file for bankruptcy, right?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. When student loans first came out, you know, about 30 years ago or so when I started in the practice of law, there were some doctors who would try to do that. And the bankruptcy code has a provision that's called an anti-abuse provision. That says we're not going to let you, you know, just try and stiff your creditors, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Since that time, Congress has said, we think, because student loans have exploded since then,
mm-hmm.
and so Congress has said, we don't want to make sure that that doesn't happen. We're not just going to leave it up to the discretion of the bankruptcy judge. We have made it a law that you cannot discharge your student loans, not unless you can show a substantial discharge, which is very, very, very difficult to prove.
Well, so what's it do? Sit there and just earn interest as far as on the loan itself until they finally can start making some payments? So, because obviously you can't get blood out of a turnip either, right?
You're correct. You can't. And yes, that is one. If you ignore your student loans, the interest is going to build up at a default rate and become huge. There are a number of programs that are out there that you can sort of defer or make payment plans, this, that, et cetera. But it's really sad sometimes if somebody has a huge amount of debt from student loans and can't get a good job to pay it off, they're going to have that debt the rest of their life. And I think that's actually sort of a problem with our system the way it is right now.
Are there other debts besides student loans that you can't file bankruptcy for, that you're just going to have to work something out?
Yes, there are. Some of them, one example would be if you had too much to drink at the bar, went out driving, and got an accident and injured somebody. Congress decided as a matter of public policy, we're not going to let drunk drivers get away with that. That's one example. There are a number that are specified in the bankruptcy code under certain categories. One of those categories is getting money or credit under false pretenses. Fraud. If you've lied to your creditor to get money, you can't get it. If you charge up too much credit card debt too fast for luxury items before you file, you can't discharge those.
Interesting. Now, how does that determine, though? I mean, so you go out and you buy a new car, you buy furniture, you buy whatever. Who's to say you did it so you can file bankruptcy?
Well, the question is, in those situations, is did you give false information to your creditor? If they can't come up with anything that indicates that it's false, then you don't have to worry about that. I should mention also that unpaid taxes generally are non-dischargeable. If you have criminal fines or restitution, that's non-dischargeable too.
Doesn't the creditor have any obligation to check you out before they loan you the money?
Oh yeah, they should.
Absolutely. But now you get into credit card debt, though. That's another story too, because they just go ahead and let you run those cards right up sometimes, don't they?
They're very easy. You know, over the years, sometimes it's the last few years after that recession and tightened up some, but it looks to me like it's loosening up again.
So if people are on the verge of bankruptcy, if they think that maybe this is what they should do or not do, then that's when they should call you. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
And you're willing to see all. Do you see more of this now? I mean, are you seeing more or less or about the same as you have, say, over the last 10 years?
You know, actually, the statistics show that over the last 10 years, the number of bankruptcies that have been filed by everybody in the state of Iowa has been going down.
And that's a good thing.
Well, you hope so.
Yeah, depending on how you look at it, right?
Right, right.
Absolutely. Jim Raddick, my guest this morning. He's an attorney with Aronson & Moss Law Firm. Tell everybody how they can reach you, Jim, and where the Aronson & Moss Law Firm would be.
Sure. Our offices are downtown Cedar Rapids, 425 2nd Street Southeast. You can reach us by phone at 319-363-8199. And our website is www.aronsonlaw.com.
Very good. Hey, Jim, thanks for coming in. We enjoy visiting with you, and that's a good subject, bankruptcy.
Well, I enjoyed it again.
I can hardly wait for the next subject.
That's okay.
Good. All right. Thank you now.
You bet.